The mystery begins where the winter finds its feet. The rush of frost and chill competes with the old hope of incarnation. Darker nights unfold, and with the fading of the light, the sun weakens. Held by this frozen earth, wrapped in winter's frost, the mystery of the ancient hope is alight once more. For from the stump of Jesse, the dry old tree of David's line, comes a new branch, a new shoot, cracking through the season with a promise yet unfulfilled. This is the hoping, the waiting, the Advent. Let us gather round the words the prophet spoke long ago and believe. Emmanuel is on the way.
Please pray with me. Almighty God, as we begin this season of Advent, remind us again that in the midst of our darkness, you are bringing us peace to calm our anxious spirits and hectic lives. Turn our hearts again toward you. Make us ready to receive your Son, our Savior. Slow our pace and give us the blessing of feeling your peace in our spirits. For we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
God of amazing surprises, we are rushing headlong in the season of buying, giving, greed, and struggle. We want to think of the holiday as delightful, but we have a tendency to make it a time of the highest stress. We overschedule our time, overdraw our resources, ignore those moments in which we could just relax and have quiet time with our families and with you. We speak of obligations, of the need to be constantly busy, of the pressure to purchase things to make other people happy. The reality is that your love should be our foundation, the base from which we celebrate. Our watchfulness is not necessarily about what is to happen, but rather should be on the ways in which we order our lives, ways that block out your love and make your healing power. Forgive us for our stubborn insistence on maintaining schedule rather than focusing on your love. Heal us, strengthen us, and make us watchful over our faith in you. We ask this in Jesus' name. You may now give your own private confession.
The candle of patience, watch, wait. In the days to come, the Lord shall establish God's house upon the earth.
Watch, wait, for God will do something special, something very unexpected.
Do not be hesitant. Place your trust in God's promise.
Today we light this first candle, a special candle. Lighted in darkness, shedding its meager light into our world.
Watch, wait. God is bringing to you new hope and peace. It is a gift given especially for you, one that you cannot earn. It's a gift. Praise be to the giver of all great gifts, our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. The first reading is Isaiah 2, chapters 1 through 5. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judea and Jerusalem. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths." For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord.
And I have the second reading from Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem." Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together. To it the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For there the thrones for judgment were set up, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace within your walls and security within your towers. For the sake of my relatives and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good.
Third reading, Romans 13:11-14. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery or licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires.
Our fourth reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, beginning at verse 36. But about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be for the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this: if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the word of the Lord. Let us say thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
So as you have gathered through this Advent season, we are going to have multiple readings, and we're going to work our way through the season of Advent using the lectionary. Let's all say that together. Lectionary. Why? Why are we going to use the lectionary? We are going to use the Revised Common Lectionary because it's cool. In actual fact, the lectionary is used by lots of Christian traditions, Protestant as well as Catholic. And what the lectionary does is that it takes the major parts of the Bible and organizes them into daily readings. There's an Old Testament reading, a psalm, or some other Bible song, a New Testament reading, and a gospel reading. And the lectionary is built around 3-year cycles. So there's a year A, year B, and a year C. And each of those actually corresponds to which gospel is going to be the focus for that year. Happy New Year. We are beginning year A on the first Sunday of Advent. So in the lectionary this year, the focus is on Matthew. The lectionary guides us through the liturgical year, which begins today and prepares us for the incarnation. The year begins in preparation. Advent prepares us to experience the incarnation of Christ. Lent prepares us for the resurrection. So the year has this rotation in which we move from God entering into our lives and then God bringing out new life out of death. I love the lectionary sometimes. I love it sometimes because it helps us to hear the broader testimony of Scripture instead of just hearing a smaller set of texts over and over again. A sort of funny story about this. The church that I grew up in was a great church. I met Jesus in that church. I grew in maturity. I had the opportunity to grow as a leader. It was a wonderful church, great pastors. And my mom was the one who got us going to that church after my parents got a divorce. And so that church was really my spiritual family in some very significant ways. But it had its limitations. And one day after I had left home and gone off to college, I was back home from college, and my mom says to me, the pastors have told us to stop dating our Bibles. She didn't mean taking your Bible out for drinks and a nice dinner. She meant, please, the pastors had asked that they please stop marking the date in which they preached on a given text. And the reason why they asked people to stop doing this was because people were starting to come up to them and say, you just preached on that text like 6 weeks ago. The problem for all faith traditions, all Christian traditions, is we sort of find ourselves in what we call the canon within the canon. That is, our favorite Bible stories that we go to time and time again because they're so meaningful to us. The lectionary is a gift to us because it pushes us to hear all different portions of Scripture that we wouldn't normally hear. It keeps us from creating inadvertently a canon within the canon. Eugene Peterson, one of my favorite teachers, he puts it this way. It helps us to hear the big God story, and it helps us to see ourselves in it, because, as Eugene Peterson says, when we submit our lives to what we read in Scripture, we find that we are not being led to see God in our stories, but our story in God's. God is the larger context and the plot in which our stories find themselves. I also love the lectionary because we find ourselves with these four texts and these texts begin to speak to one another. And by the Holy Spirit, they begin to speak to us in deeper ways. The last reason I want to highlight why I love the lectionary sometimes is because it reminds us that there are more than one way to measure time. In secular time, we are always about pushing to move forward. We're always trying to go ahead to meet our deadlines and our quotas, to make it through the work week in order to enjoy the weekend. Life is always about the next vacation or the next fun activity. Secular time wants us to believe that it's always about onward and upward, bigger and better. And frankly, we buy into that. We want to believe that, even though the very seasons teach us that that's not how life really works. There's a different way to measure time, and that is to measure it cyclically, to recognize that the nature of things is a movement from one season to another, in which the cycle of birth, growth, death, and rebirth repeats itself over and over again. The liturgical calendar reminds us that probably the greatest and most important lesson that the people of Israel learned in the Old Testament, and that was the lesson of remembering. We need to remember and to retell these stories in order to relearn them and to go deeper in our journey of growth. The lectionary helps us to do that. The lectionary helps us discern patterns and recurring themes in the scriptures. These are the rhythms that transform us. And these are the rhythms that remind us that we can always begin again. I wonder, what did you hear this morning as you heard these four texts read side by side? What themes did you notice? Did any feelings or longings come up within you? One of the themes that runs through these texts is judgment. Isaiah promises us a future in which God's good and right judgment ends conflict among the nations. The psalm urges us to pray for the city of peace, where the thrones of judgment have been set up. The Apostle Paul reminds us that it's not time to get ready, but to be ready, because the day of our salvation is near. And, as Jesus teaches us, that day will come at an unexpected hour. Judgment is not one of those words that conjures up warm and fuzzy feelings. On the contrary, Jesus' description sounds more like a warning than good news. But if we think about judgment in the way that Isaiah, Jesus, and Paul thought about it, then we understand judgment to be the twin pole of creation. In the beginning, God creates the world, and there will eventually come a day when God will put the world right. We are being invited to imagine a world in which all things will be known, all things will be forgiven, all things will be set right again. There will be a day when we can let out a collective sigh of relief and know that everything's going to start over anew. To know that such a day will come to pass should give us hope. The universe, in fact, does make sense. We really can trust the one who created all things good will make all things good once again. We can know that the riddles of life and death, guilt and grief, are not going to go unsolved. We can know that the way that we see injustice in the world will not stand forever. And we can celebrate that it's going to be God and not you, not me. The one who created it all in love and sent the Son into the world to make that love specific and accessible. It's that God who's going to make all things right. It's that God we can trust to establish this. Jesus calls that day the coming of the Son of Man. We often call that day the second coming of Christ, though, frankly, it would be better if we were to speak of it as the third coming. As the first chapter of John's Gospel makes plain, Christ was first revealed in creation, and then a second time in the person of Jesus. Now we await the full and final appearing of the resurrected Christ and the completion of God's good judgment work. What Jesus makes abundantly clear is that no one knows when that day will come except God the Father. The angels gathered around God's judgment seat don't know. Not even the Son, who Jesus says is always about the Father's business and always paying attention to what the Father is doing and doing that. That even the Son does not know, Jesus says. Disciples, therefore, are called to follow their Lord in a certain eschatological agnosticism, not knowing when the end will occur. That's just a fancy way of saying, if Jesus doesn't know the timing, then neither do you. But what we do need to know is that it will happen. And Jesus wants us to live as if it will be happening at any minute. Jesus is calling us to live in a state of constant, urgent, watchful anticipation. An alertness, an awareness, a sense in which we recognize that the time is always short to love as Jesus loves, to forgive as Jesus forgives, to show mercy as Jesus shows mercy, and to work toward the full healing and wholeness of all people the way Jesus ministered to us and showed us the way. We are to wait and we are to watch, but above all, we are to stay awake. I wonder, after this week of fullness, how many naps did you feel the need to take? Did you find yourself getting restless? What's the next football game I can turn on? Maybe I need to go figure out how to get my Black Friday sales go work, you know, get my Christmas shopping finished. Always trying to find that next thing to do, the next thing to attend to, the way in which we take on all these things and they sort of lay across us like blankets, making us heavier and heavier, sleepier and sleepier. Life has a way of doing that. What Jesus is calling us to instead is a alertness, a wakefulness, an awareness that says, the time is short, love well, love fully, go all in. As we prepare our hearts to receive Christ anew this Christmas, let us live like Jesus, love like Jesus, and serve the world Jesus gave his life to serve. Let us begin again. And let us begin where it all started, here at the Lord's table. We recognize that this ministry of the Lord's table, this is the place where community began, where Jesus gathered his disciples together, called them into a new way of living and loving and serving one another, and calls us now to do likewise. Whenever Pastor Bob and I have the privilege of hosting this table, we always do so in the name of the Lord, because we recognize that it is not we who host, but it is the Lord himself. I want to invite the servers, if you would please come forward at this time. As you begin to, as you prepare your hearts to receive the Lord's Supper once again, friends, my invitation to you is to ask yourself, how am I staying alert? How am I staying watchful and waiting? How do I cultivate in myself a desire and anticipation for the fullness of Christ to come into the world once again? And how can I be a part of that? Holy Spirit, show us the way. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus gathered his friends together and said, I have earnestly longed to share this meal with you. And at the beginning of the meal, he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he said, this is my body which is given for you. And likewise, at the end of the meal, he poured out the cup and said, this is the cup of the new covenant which is in my blood. And for as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he returns. It is our custom, friends, that when you receive the bread, you consume it. When you receive the cup, you hold on to it so that we can consume it together. If you have even a little bit of faith in Jesus Christ, even the slightest inkling of what this all means for you, you are welcome to this table, for it is the Lord who calls you as host. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you call us to be alert and to wait. Holy Spirit, through the liturgical season, you now invite us to begin again. May this meal be a place of renewal for us. Meet us, we pray, Heavenly Father, through the gifts of bread and cup, these common things set aside for an uncommon purpose, to nourish us physically and spiritually, to receive uniquely your presence within us in order that we may be uniquely your presence in the world. God bless this meal, we pray, for your glory's sake. And all God's people said, Amen. Friends, let us together take and drink. All of life, Lord God, is a blessing given unto us. And insofar as you have given the fullness of yourself to us, Lord, in love, we long to give the fullness of ourselves in return. Thank you for the fullness of life given unto us. And now, as we give to you our tithes and our offerings, that representation of the whole of ourselves, we do so asking that you would bless that which we give to accomplish greater works than anything we could hope for or imagine. Enable us to grow in our capacity for generosity this Advent season, to see and to be aware and to notice where people are living in deep poverty, not simply the poverty of not having enough money or not having enough resources, but the poverty of loneliness, the poverty of isolation, the poverty of brokenness and addiction, of hurt and harm. And give us eyes to see where people are living in that kind of pain, Lord, and move us to love them and to meet them in that place of need, we pray. Bless us as we seek to be a blessing in the world. Amen. And now, friends, receive the benediction, a hopeful benediction. Be people of hope. Let hope live in your heart and share the hope of Christ with all you meet. Share hope by noticing someone else's humanity. Share hope by listening to someone's story. Share hope by praying for our world. In this Advent season, we need to see, feel, and share hope as you go out into the world, into the wonder of God's creations. Share hope with those you meet. Amen.